Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Hey, it's me, Megan Tan. I'm currently outside walking around my neighborhood, and the Dear Millennial team and I took these last few weeks off to really enjoy our families, not sit in front of our computers, to rest. I know, what a concept. So today's episode is not going to be like the normal episodes we publish. It's going to be a little special because we're still in vacation mode. The episode you're going to hear is an idea that my partner and I, Eric, pitched a few years ago, and it never got published for a large audience to hear until now. So enjoy the show that was never published. It's called Close to the Sun. All right, bye.
You're listening to Close to the Sun, a show about real places and people in a magical city told in a magical way. I'm Eric Galindo. Chapter 1. The beautiful sky. Before LA had these tacos, the kind that sound like cymbals crashing when you bite them, that ooze of secret recipes that the owners only know and you only know about, the kind that drip guacamole. The red ones, the fancy ones, the blue corn tortillas, the sweet potato ones that everyone loves because they love the cheese. Before the orchestra of LA tacos, there was a conductor, an aurora. A striking brown woman with a wide-set nose and deep eyes. And these eyes grew up in the mountains of Zacatecas, where the smell of sweet mesquite fills the night air as handmade stoves burn under star-filled skies to cook a rainbow of colorful dishes like pumpkin flour quesadillas, red and green sugar tamales, charascas, and tacasotas. On a fall night in 1928, as heavily armed rebels fight the federal government all across Zacatecas, Aurora's caring eyes are moving, watching the stove and watching her children. There are three of them, all to keep her occupied, to keep her thinking about her future and theirs. Tonight, Aurora will put an extra amount of love into the meal that she serves. She'll sweat a little more as she builds the outdoor stove, a pile of rocks and burning wood, but it's hot enough to heat the comal to bake the tacasotas. Tacasotas are Aurora's specialty. She spends all day chopping wood, melting the lard, making the cheese, gathering the corn, grinding the maíz to make these savory corn gorditas. The extra ingredients keep her hands moving and her mind busy, so she doesn't have to think about what's going to happen after dinner, after she falls asleep, as she wakes up at the crack of dawn to kiss her husband goodbye, waving to him as he gets smaller down the road that leads away from the home that they have built together, leaving on the promise that he would come back. Her husband is going to El Otro Lado to work in the California fields. He's going to be a bracero, work hard, send money back to the mountain. I don't know his name because he's not in the record books. As much as Aurora thought he would be important, he would be no more than a blip in her story, the catalyst that brought her to America. On a spring morning in 1929, Aurora packs up what little she has, thinking of what she's missing. Him. She holds the hands of her kids, who hold each other's hands as they head down the mountain. They're gonna go look for her husband, their father. All of her neighbors whisper behind them, breathy rumors about how the husband never sent back money. How he broke his promise. How he abandoned them. Breathy rumors that sound like the wind whipping against the side of Aurora's empty little house. That follow her down the hillside, through the river, and across the desert to a place she's only ever heard of in chismes around Huanasco. Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, once a tiny Spanish village, now numbers more than 1.25 million inhabitants. Its area is great. Its public buildings
are including the Aurora searches for a man in a city named after a woman. El pueblo de Nuestra Señora, la Reina de Los Angeles. She has no idea she's gonna forget about the man, and she's gonna fall in love with the city. When she arrives, bodies inch up against her in the crowded metropolis. She smells smells she's never smelled, like the exhaust of steel factories making materials for big Hollywood sets. And she sees purple flowers falling from trees whose names she can't even pronounce. She walks through a street in downtown on a mission. She spots a large group of Mexican men, construction workers, and asks one of them what they are doing there. ¿Qué andan haciendo aquí? The man says they are rebuilding an ancient corridor, a small part of old Mexico, that rumor has it is LA's oldest street and the city's birthplace. De aquí nació nuestra ciudad. The man's never heard of her husband. No one has. She says thank you and turns and walks away with her kids. He's not anywhere near Overa Street, but Aurora's future is. Because Aurora thinks she's searching for her husband, but really, she's gonna find herself. All around here, there's an air of hope as the vibrant growing city is fueled by the recent birth of giant Hollywood studios and even bigger dreams.
It was panic. 16.5 million shares of stock sold in a single day.
And then the stock market crashes. Unemployment skyrockets. People lose their homes. As the world around Aurora collapses, her feet keep moving. She cleans houses, churches, bodegas, anything that can help her prevent her children's stomachs from yelling. When she can, she gets gigs as a metal worker in the foundry. But eventually, she takes her children to work alongside her in the same fields their dad was supposed to be providing for his family. They didn't need him. They made do. They moved around a lot. Lincoln Heights, Bunker Hill, Aliso Village, even Palo Verde, a whole community that was raised to build Dodger Stadium. But all these neighborhoods are among the hardest hit by the Depression. As they see longer and longer food lines and buildings being boarded up, there are parts of the city that are thriving, the fancy parts, the wealthy parts. As Aurora's moving from home to home, she doesn't have time to go to the Greek theater that just opened up in Griffith Park, or watch the ribbon-cutting ceremony at LAX, or catch the premiere of All Quiet on the Western Front. But Christine Sterling, a socialite from Northern California, she probably does. She probably gets to see Shakespeare at the Greek Theater, or fly on a big Pan Am jet out of LAX. She probably even got to walk the red carpet at the premiere of that Oscar-winning war movie. Even in the middle of the Great Depression, whatever Christine Sterling wants, she usually gets. Including on Easter of 1930, when her dream to recreate the early days of Placita Olvera as a thriving Mexican market comes to life. Olvera Street, the same street that Aurora passed when she was looking for her husband, is suddenly a place where white people can dress up in stereotypical Mexican outfits, shop for Mexican-style souvenirs, and eat Mexican-style food. Aurora's too busy working to even notice. Until one day, she sees Olvera Street as an opportunity. She starts by selling souvenirs, religious artifacts, novelties, while her kids shine shoes and stock merchandise for the local shopkeepers. These jobs are good, but they aren't good enough. For 4 years, Olvera Street watches Aurora's children lose their baby teeth, go through growth spurts, they develop crushes, they grow from watching their mother hustle to becoming hustlers themselves. Then one day in 1934, Aurora's oldest daughter Natalia is ready for a job that's better than just good. She comes to her mother with an idea that could be great. Natalia wants to buy one of the food stands in the plaza. The current owner is moving and asking for $300. Aurora doesn't have $300. Dios mío, ya quisiera. But she does have friends. In her years working to provide for her family, when her husband did not, Aurora built a reputation. She earned the trust of a lot of people all around the various parts of LA that she passed through. A lot of people who had just enough money to loan her little bits of it. But having a lot of a little can be enough. And so Aurora and her kids buy this little puesto on the south edge of Placita Olvera. It isn't much, just a few wooden tables and some benches. They don't even have running water. They have to siphon it from the adjacent gas station. But just like in the years before, they make do. They build a small shack and an outdoor stove, kind of like the ones they had back in the mountains of Zacatecas. But Aurora doesn't have the same ingredients to make her famous tacosotas or colorful pumpkin flour quesadillas. She has to work with what she's got here in LA. So she creates a recipe for a watery but delicious guacamole salsa, and rolled up shredded beef tacos that she deep fries at home and carries to Overa Street in a trolley every morning to that little shack. There they keep the tacos and salsa warm on that open fire, and they sell them to the tourists, the locals, the workers, and soon all of Los Angeles. These tacos start on Overa Street, but they create a cacophony of sounds of people eating amazing, delicious tacos all over El Pueblo de Nuestra Señora la Reina de Los Angeles. Yeah, okay, let me get the number 2 with the chicken tamal. Yeah, and then can I get number 3?
Yeah, is it
the
one with...
Aurora had found her calling. And if you walk north on Alameda and hook a left just before you get to Cesar Chavez, onto the cobblestones of La Placita Alvera, you will find Aurora's destiny manifested as Cielito Lindo. Excited? You excited to try these?
I am.
Okay. Yeah, I'm excited for you to try them.
Yeah, these are good.
And that's more or less how LA's oldest taco shop on LA's oldest street was born almost 90 years ago. Thank you for listening to Close to the Sun, a show about real places and people in a magical city told in a magical way.
That was Eric Galindo on the mic, and that was Close to the Sun, an idea for a show that was never made. It happens. This pilot episode of Close to the Sun was written and edited by Eric Galindo and me, Megan Tan. It was sound designed by Marina Pena and myself. Happy New Year, and next week we will have a new episode for you. But until then, rest, chill, enjoy. Talk to you soon. Bye.